Began last week as we're looking at this thought of, I believe it's this thought of walking with God. And we're looking at the story of Enoch. It's not a long story in the book of Genesis by any means. It's a short little passage, but great truth is taught because Enoch is mentioned in the book of Hebrews, and he's also mentioned in the book of Jude. And Enoch, people don't realize it, he was a preacher of righteousness. He went around preaching pre-flood to those people, telling them to flee from the wrath to come, just like we're doing today. Jesus Christ is coming, and he was preaching to them and telling them to turn to God while they still could. And we'll look at some of that tonight, but just in a jumping off place, let's look at our text in Genesis 5 and in verse number 18 tonight, Genesis 5, 18. And we'll read the few verses, and we'll review for a few minutes, and then we'll get right into the message. Notice what it says. And Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. So we know that he lived 960 years. That's a long time to live upon the earth. Verse number 20. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. For God took him. He walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd bless the message tonight as we're preaching on this thought of walking with God. And Lord, even as it was the thought of the Sunday morning message, walking with God. Lord, walking with you is the most important thing we do as a child of God. And Lord, if our walk is right, then everything else is going to be right. And if our walk is not right, then our life's going to be filled with multitude of problems and misery and heartache. And Lord, walking with you is essential for the child of God. You said if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. God, I'm thankful for that. You cleanse us from all sin. And God, as we walk with you, we have fellowship. We have communion. Lord, we have love one with another. Bless the word now and help me to bring it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, tonight as we're going to continue this study on the thought of walking with God, and as we look at the story of Enoch, we made mention in a way of introduction the importance of walking with God and how important it is to have a spiritual walk with Jesus Christ. We live in a day when many Christians don't even know. When you talk about walking with God, they say, what are you talking about? You know, what does it mean to walk with God? And every Christian should know what it means to walk with God. It means to have communion and fellowship with him. It means to hear God's voice and for you to speak to him and him to speak to you and for you to feel his presence. Amen. To feel the presence of God in your life. Amen. And know that he's real. I can't tell you how many Christians, they say, well, Brother Chris, I just don't know what it means to feel the presence of God. And I'm thinking, why don't you know that? Why don't you feel God's presence? Why don't you have that communion? How come you can't hear that still small voice and God whispering in your ear? God wants that relationship. People say, that's just a relationship for the preacher. No, that's a relationship for every child of God. He loves all of his children and wants to commune with them. And again, it's the icon of Christian experience, as I made mention of that. And Enoch's experience with God, again, I said, was a prototype of what God would do in the last days with a church and with Christians. It parallels our experience. It portrays the future. Enoch's, this little story, though it's a small little story with a few little verses, yet it is an example of what God is going to do with us one day. And we don't have a whole, how you want to put it, the history of Enoch and everything that he did. But we know some things about Enoch. And the most important thing is that he walked with God. And he did it in the surrounding gloom. We talked about that last week, the surrounding gloom of God's judgment, the flood of Noah, the catastrophic destruction of the known world. And only Noah and his family escaped that destruction. 8 people got on the ark of Noah and survived, and the rest of the world was destroyed. You ever read over there where it says there, be few that'll be saved? It's not the, hey, most people, it's not many, it's few. He said there'd be few that find it. And most of the world is going to die and perish and go to a devil's hell. And that's why he says straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth life, and few there be that find it. Because people reject the truth. They reject the narrow way. You say, how narrow is it? One guy said this, it's as narrow as this book. This book has the answer. And God's ways are not man's ways. Broad is the weight and wide is the gate that leadeth destruction, and many there be which enter thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth life, and few there be that find it. The disciples said, Lord, are there few that be saved? Yeah, few. Not most, few. And when you look at the 7 billion plus people we have in the world, you talk about a tragedy when Jesus Christ comes. A tragedy for those who will face what's coming on this world, the mark of the beast and the Antichrist and the 7-year tribulation, the day of God's wrath upon this nation and this world, the surrounding gloom. We looked at the socially, the age of permissiveness, how sin abounded. We looked at the scientifically, the age of progressiveness. They were scientifically advanced. And then spiritually, the age of presumptuousness. Again, they thought it would never end. We're so great, man, so great, it'll never come to an end. Can I tell you something? Everything comes to an end. Amen. And the greater things are, the less chance of it lasting. I think to myself all the time, when things are so good, I always say to myself, this cannot last. Because it's too good. Enjoy eating steak now, because there's a day coming we may be eating a whole lot. We may be eating earthworms. Enjoy your freedom, because the day comes when we may have a jail cell. Enjoy all the luxuries that you enjoy now, because the day comes when you may not have them anymore. You got to get up and thank God every day for all that you have. Because there's no promise that it's going to be here tomorrow. Any catastrophic thing could happen. And we could be plunged into the dark ages in this nation. Because America has no place in Bible prophecy. None. And we could be in total disarray and chaos. And the world would rejoice at the demise of America. The world would stand up and clap and say, thank God them dirty Americans are gone. Now, you know they hate us, right? Even when I was in Guyana, they'd say, filthy, dirty Americans. And those are the same people that are filthy and dirty. Calling us filthy, dirty Americans. I heard them say it. Nasty Americans. Americans are nasty. They hate Americans. And, you know, and why do they hate us? Because we have everything. And they hate us because of our prosperity. They hate us because of our freedom. They hate us because of our Christianity. And there's no promise that it'll be here forever. I'm telling you that. So tonight, as we continue the message on this thought of walking with God, Enoch walked with God even though there was surrounding gloom. The second thing tonight, I had 4 simple points, is he walked with God through the saving grace. Thank God for God's saving grace. Verse 21 and 2, where it says, And Enoch walked with God after he got Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. I mean, God was with Methuselah. And God's grace is real. I believe in the grace of God. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 and 10, for by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created unto Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, unto good works. Amen. You know why God saved you? To live for him and to walk with him. And God gave us grace to walk with him. We become trophies of God's amazing grace. Brother John told me tonight on platform that his parole officer watched the service this morning. Now, isn't that a trophy of grace? I said, John, you're going to reach people we never could reach. You think we could reach the parole officer? No. But Brother John can. And there's people that you minister to where you walk with Christ that you can reach that we can't reach them. I mean, I think of Devin working in the HVAC field and how rough most of those guys are. And I said, man, you can reach some people that no one else can reach, because them people, most of them don't go to church. Sarah, she ministers in the health field. And, you know, God places us all in different positions of life to minister to people. Amen. You know, and me messing around with car parts, ministering to that crowd. And I'll tell you, that crowd is as rough as they come. They are rough. The car parts crowd is a rough crowd. But they need Jesus Christ. Amen. And they need the light of Jesus Christ. And they need someone to show them a better and a living way. It is so important that we all walk with Jesus. Our seniors, the places you go, the people you frequent. You say, who do the seniors minister to? All the medical staff. Because seniors are in the hospital all the time. They're always at the doctor. And you need some Christians to live like a Christian and act like a Christian in every walk of life. But see, it's through God's grace that we do that. And Enoch experienced that grace. You know, the first 65 years of his life, it alludes to the fact that Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. It kind of alludes that he wasn't walking with God up until Methuselah was born. Now, I know that children have a way of making you come to your senses. Right? Children give you responsibility. And you understand that now you're responsible and you have to take care of that life that God has given you. And you can't live recklessly when you have children, or you won't have any children. Someone will take them away, right? And so children have a way of making us come to our senses sometimes. And obviously, God's grace was bestowed upon him. And, you know, and he began to do things differently. You say, what did God's grace do? It spared his life. You know, the earth was filled with violence. And to live that long as his family lived, I mean, his dad lived 962 years. And the earth was filled with violence. How did he escape murder? How did he escape all the terrible things that were happening all over the planet? Because God's grace was keeping him safe. I mean, the earth was filled with violence. When you read statistics of what happens to people in this country, what happens to girls in this country, when they say, you know, 2 out of 5 or 3 out of 5 girls will be raped before sometime in their lifetime, then we know that that's most women will be raped before they die. Not some, not a few, most. Isn't that horrific? And yet you go through life and nothing's bad's ever happened to you. What is that? That's the grace of God. Amen. Talk about people that'll be robbed and beaten and all these things. The statistics are high. And I think, God, I've gone through life completely unscathed. I said, that is the grace of God. That is God's mercy and love and grace washing out over me. Genesis 6, verse number 11 and 12 says, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth. Behold, it was corrupted, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. You talk about a dangerous time, and how Noah escaped, and how Enoch escaped, was the grace of God. How we escape is the grace of God. They're talking about all the carjackings in America. See, they've decriminalized everything across America. And now you have 12-year-olds with a gun carjacking people all over this nation. They had another one today, a 12-year-old in Washington, D.C., carjacked someone with a gun and took their car. Now, you can imagine, I can imagine a 12-year-old pulling the door open and me seeing a gun. Now, you know, my first response is I would be furious. And there's probably no way that 12-year-old's getting in the car without not getting my hands on his throat. Because that would make me mad. I'm telling you, that would make me mad. But what would you do? What would your 16-year-old daughter do? I mean, it's happening on a regular basis now because they've decriminalized it. And they say, well, they're just disadvantaged, and we're white privileged, so we ought to let them, we ought just give them your car. And, you know, it's their environment, and it's their culture, and, you know, they're just disadvantaged. Now, you know what that breeds? If you don't do nothing, what is it? It progresses. It was 16, 17, 18-year-olds doing it. Now you got 12-year-olds doing it. We're going to need God's grace, are we not? I mean, you're going to need God's grace every time you get in the car and go somewhere before it's through. And it's the grace of God that spared his life when the earth was filled with violence and death was on every hand. You know, I think of all the times God spared my life that I could have been killed, and they were multitude times. And I would have died and went to hell. I mean, we roamed the streets from the time we were 11 years old. The cops would stop us and they'd say, boys, me, Joe, and Davy Wilson. 3 a.m, we're out roaming the streets where we're not supposed to be. And he said, boys, you know, the park ranger ran us out of Sharon Woods, the state park. So we went and sat on the bridge over the lake, which was just outside of the park. And the park ranger comes by and he says, boys, it's 2:30 a.m. Don't you think it's time you go home? Now, we're out, and Mom and Dad don't even know we're out. We climbed out the window, came down over the porch that was above the roof, climbed down the pole, and it's 2:30 a.m. and we're just out. Another police officer stopped us at the 7-Eleven and says, boys, it's 2 a.m. What are you doing? I said, we're just hanging out. You're 11 years old. You're 10, 11, and 13 years old. What are you doing? We're lucky we didn't become missing children. And we did that. We would go to Daytona and spend a month there from the time I was 13 to 17. And Dad never knew where we were. We're roaming the beach. We're out all hours of the night in the dark. And anything could have happened to us. And God's grace, thank God for God's grace watching over us. God spared Enoch's life. God showed him his need. You know, a person will never come to the saving knowledge until they see they're lost. The grace of God opens people's eyes. Luke 5:32, the Bible says Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. And it's God that comes looking for us. In Luke chapter number 18 and in verse number 9, you have that story, that parable of the two men that went up to the temple to pray. One was a publican and one was a Pharisee. And one was spiritually blind and couldn't see their need. And Luke chapter 18, verse number 9, the Bible says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You know, people can be self-righteous, can they not? They're going to hell, but they think they're better than everybody else. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. It's God that has to open our eyes to receive his saving grace. You know, and God gave him sense to act. You know what grace does? It gives you sense to act. You know, it's amazing how many people know they're going to hell, but don't have enough sense to do anything about it. Remember Pharaoh, when Moses came to Pharaoh? And he said, God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, I know not the Lord, and neither will I let Israel go. That was a fatal error. And you read over there in Exodus 12, when all the firstborn of, you're right there, look in Exodus chapter 12, when all the firstborn were dead throughout Egypt, all the firstborn are dead. Pharaoh's son is dead. He calls for Moses, and he knows that he's wicked. He knows he needs God. But look what he says in verse 29. And it came to pass at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captain that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a very great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, and as ye have said, and be gone. And look what he says. And bless me also. He knows he needs God. But what's he going to do about it? Verse 33, and the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out, and the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. Now, of course, they send them out, and then they say, well, what have we done? Why did we let them go? We're going to go kill them all. And we know what happens to Pharaoh and his army. They're dead at the bottom of the Red Sea. Because they don't have enough sense to know what to do. Thank God that Enoch had enough sense to know what to do. That's God's grace. He had enough sense to act. And how important is that? He acted. I thank God when walking with God, you think about all that entails, but God, the simple goodness of God when it comes to walking with Him. You know, when you're walking with God, God's simple goodness. You know, a life that's changed and a testimony for God. Remember, Enoch had a testimony. His life was changed when he was 65 years old. Hebrews says it was. Look in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. And he's in the Hall of Fame of when it comes to the Hall of Faith, when it comes to Christians. Look what it says in chapter 5. By faith, Enoch was translated, they should not see death, but was not found because God had translated him before his translation. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch walked with God until God took him. And that is so amazing, the changed life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, his new creature, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's the fruit of repentance, is the product of a changed life. You're not who you were. And you're a new person in Christ Jesus. And he had that testimony. He had that testimony. And notice what it says there. And I'm going to wait. I'm going to come back to that because I got something in the other section. But he had a testimony, and his testimony was to man. Look in Jude, the book of Jude, verse 14 and 15. I mean, when Enoch got saved and he believed on God, his life was changed, and he was transformed into a preacher of righteousness, as the Bible describes him. Notice what it says in Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. You say, when's that going to happen? In the rapture? In the rapture. Those who have gone to heaven are coming back with Jesus to get their new body that was left here on earth. The old body is going to be transformed and they're going to get a new one. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But 10,000s, that's not just 10,000s, but 10,000s. Right? Thousands upon thousands upon thousands. You read about that in the book of Revelation. An innumerable company. There have been a lot of people saved from the beginning of the world until now. 10,000s, thousands of thousands, 1,000,000. You think about all those numbers. It's an amazing thing. And Enoch's preaching about it before he's caught up to heaven. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among all them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. He's preaching. He's prophesying about our days. Now think about that. This is pre-flood. The flood of Noah came 2,000 years into human history. Enoch's there. He's preaching. Noah hasn't even been born yet. Noah is 500 years old, and then when he's 600 years old, the flood comes. And he's preaching about the day in which we live today. I mean, you think about the simple goodness of a life-change testimony for God and a testimony that he was to man. He had a testimony that he pleased God. A preacher of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 3 says, do we begin to commend ourselves, or need we of some other epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are epistle written in our hearts and known and read of all men, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone but in fleshy tables of the heart. Your life is a testimony to those people that you come in contact with. How you talk, how you dress, your work ethic. And it speaks volumes of whether or not you have a walk with Jesus Christ. We always said actions speak louder than words, and we know that. And a man said, your actions speak so loudly people can't hear what you say. Doesn't matter what you say, it's what you actually what? Do. It's what you do. You know, the Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter number 9, he was Saul of Tarsus. He hated Christians. He imprisoned them. He tortured them to death till they would deny the existence of Jesus Christ. And he got saved on the Damascus Road. And after he got saved, his life was changed. Notice what it says in Acts 9 and verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into this house, and putting his hands on him, brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest has sent thee, that thou mightest receive thy sight, and that thou might be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received sight. Forthwith he arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for the intent that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? But Saul increased more in strength and confounded the Jews which were at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. They were amazed with a change in the Apostle Paul's life. Don't you know they're amazed in the change in our lives as Christians? You know what the mark of Christianity is? When you go to work, you should be the very best employee that they have. And you know what? Everyone will take notice of that. Why are you working so hard? Because I'm doing it for Jesus. Why are you so honest? Because I'm doing it for Jesus. Why do you always tell the truth? Because I'm doing it for Jesus. How come you don't cuss? Because that's unbecoming of a Christian. And you know what? Your life, through just your work ethic, reproves a lost and dying world and shows them their need for Jesus Christ. I wish to God all Christians had a walk with Jesus Christ, so that the Bible says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. When you go to work, you give it your best and you're doing it for Jesus, no matter what the circumstance is. We got to be our best. And walking with Christ, having a walk with God, hey, that's what it's all about. And simple goodness in our life, the Christian goes around what? Doing good. I mean, what did Enoch do? I mean, he had experienced the saving grace, and man, he went around doing good because his life had been changed. And he preached and he warned and he told people, and he's still preaching today. We're still reading the words of Enoch. Though his page in history is 5 or 6 verses, but his life is still a testimony to us 5,000 years later because of the powerful change that had happened in his life. And lastly, this thing of walking with God is the sudden glory. Hey, he experienced sudden glory. The Bible says, and he was not. But in Hebrews 11:5, it says, and he was not found, for God took him. There's an extra word in Hebrews 11:5, and the word is found. You say, why is that word there? Because God reveals to us in Hebrews 11:5 that people were looking for him. They were looking for him. Don't you know when that trumpet sounds, people are going to be looking for us? Where'd they go? You sang that song, you know? I wish we'd all been ready. 2 men walking up a hill. One of them is gone and one's left standing still. I wish they'd all been ready. They're going to be looking for us. Where'd they go? Man, what happened to Jennifer? Where did James go? What happened to Miss Susan? People come to church. Where's the preacher? I'm gone. We better go check the parsonage. You don't think people are going to be left behind? Spiritual pretenders? They're going to want to know what happened. They're looking for Enoch. The Bible says he was not found, for God had took him. Christ's going to sound that trumpet, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, and we are leaving here. 1 Thessalonians 4, hey, that trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ are going to be raised, and then we which are alive remain shall be caught up in the air to meet the Lord, caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This corruption is going to be put on incorruption. And then thank God, the victory will can be complete. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Let me turn over there so I don't misquote it, right? That's an important verse. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's look what it says there. 1 Corinthians 15. And he said this, he said, the sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the encouragement he gives after that? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hey, we want to be walking with Jesus when he sounds the trumpet. That's all Enoch was doing. A preacher of righteousness. The 7th from Adam, warning a lost and dying world that judgment was coming. And one day God said, let's go, Enoch. And then everybody was looking for him. They're going to look. They're not going to know what to do when Jesus Christ comes. The corruption will be gone, the change will take place, and the crown of glory will be given. But see, only if you're walking with God. Only if you're a born-again Christian. Religion ain't going to be enough. It's not enough. That relationship, walking with God, speaks of a relationship. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. You know when you bow your knees and you're praying by your bed, and you feel the presence of the Holy Ghost, and you know you're a child of God? There is nothing like that. Nothing. That is the greatest feeling in the world. And you get them Holy Ghost chill bumps from the presence of God, from being in God's presence. I love feeling that when I'm in the house of God. I'm feeling it right now. But I love feeling it more when I'm just sitting there at my desk or on my knees in prayer at home. When I'm riding in the car and thinking about the Lord and singing a Christian song and I'm feeling God's presence, I love to feel God's presence. Because we're walking with Him. Can you imagine Him and God and Enoch are walking? And God says, Enoch, it's a long way home. It's closer to my house. Why don't you come with me? And instantly, Enoch's in the presence of God. In God's throne, he's translated that he should not see death. And instantly, he has a new body. Instantly. And again, all the rules are broken at that moment. There's no written word. Right? Abraham's bosom exists, but he bypassed it. Right? He bypassed it. And God says, you're going home with me, Enoch. And I'm going to show the world through your testimony what I'm going to do. What I did at the beginning of time is what I'm going to do at the end of time. Remember, there was no time until God created Adam and Eve. When it's all said and done, there will be no time again. And time is marked by events. And the rapture of the church is the second to last event before the end of time. The Great Tribulation being the last event. And we're on the crust of it. I'm telling you, we're on the crust of it. And if there was ever a time to walk with God, it's right now. I'd get as close to Jesus Christ as you possibly can. Because the world is fixing to go into chaos and turmoil. Remember, the world's in chaos when the Antichrist comes. And he brings peace to a chaotic world. For a 7-year period. I promise you the chaos is coming. World chaos. And there ain't going to be nowhere to escape. Well, go to my farm in Ottawa. Your farm in Ottawa ain't going to save you. Can I tell you that right now? There's only one thing that's going to save you in the midst of the chaos. And that's your walk with God. And I tell you right now, we all need a close walk with God. Miss Susan, let's stand for prayer. She's going to come sing, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Amen. Just a Closer Walk.